Blog Talk Radio.
Trying to see. Can you hear me, Michael?
Yeah, I'm good.
That might be live. Let me try. Steven Rosato has been fantastic and is telling us whether or not we are live.
I mean, it says on air on my computer. So I think if nothing else, it's being recorded.
I hope it's being recorded, that's for sure.
I mean, I've said
if not,
fantastic things so far.
I know, my word. Jeez, both of us did. You know, this is earth-shattering stuff if you guys weren't able to listen. man, like I said, bear with us, folks. This is our – I have never used this interface. There we go. Well, we're finally hearing it. So, shoot, we only have 35 minutes left. So, unfortunately for you folks who missed our spring training discussion, I'll break it down real quickly. We are going to, so I said my biggest, we were going to discuss the biggest surprise so far, the biggest disappointment so far, and then the 25-man roster if it ended today. You can check out our articles, and if you want, ask us on Twitter. We might answer it later if we have time on the 25-man roster. But biggest surprise so far, I said for me, was one, Chris Marrero, I think, is at bottom line everybody's big surprise. Another big surprise for me has been the Ty Block and Neil Ramirez. That combo has been pretty impressive for me. Biggest disappointment for me so far has been, of course, Matt Cain and then Hunter Strickland. Michael, who are your biggest surprises and biggest disappointments?
So I had Jared Parker as a great surprise for already essentially kind of winning the left field job. And maybe Mac Williamson not even being an option anymore and maybe going down to AAA. I agree with you on Chris Marrero as well with the big bat he brought. And then, you know, disappointment, like I was saying before, was just Matt Cain and Michael Morse were two guys we were all hoping for, you know, big kind of one more last hurrah, that kind of a deal. And it seems like that's not going to happen for either. So that was my biggest disappointment.
Yeah. All right. So I'll give you, we'll just do it for time's sake. This part is probably honestly more important than let's say this. We love the World Baseball Classic. We love Team USA. We'll touch on it real quickly. But I think obviously for those who weren't able to hear and for recording's sake, I think it's, we should discuss the 25-man roster. We'll do it quickly though, for, like I said, for time's sake. Outfield. So I ran it down. We both agreed on the starters. We both agreed that Madison, right now, if the season ended today, we'd give our 25-man roster of Madison Bumgarner, Johnny Cueto, Matt Moore, Jeff Samardzija, and Ty Block. And then the bullpen from the ninth inning down, we have Mark Melanson, Derek Law, Hunter Strickland, Will Smith, Steven Okert, Matt Cain. I feel like if Matt Cain doesn't win the fifth starter role, then I think he'll still be in the bullpen as a long relief slash spot start option until he kind of gets his stuff together or Ty Block maybe gets hurt. Hopefully not. Never wish injuries upon anybody ever. But if he were to get hurt or maybe his performance is dipped, Matt Cain can easily step in. They don't have to make any significant roster moves. And then I put in Neil Ramirez as an option. I think both agreed, though, that David Hernandez or someone else from the bullpen could give him a run for his money because we are still pretty early in spring.
I'd say Corey Guerin probably still has the edge just because of the history that he's been with the team now for a little bit over a year.
Awesome. And then the infielders, so the catchers thing, we both agreed to set Posey and Hundley. Nothing is going to change from Belt, Crawford, Nunez, or Joe Panik. It's the ones behind them. It's those second base and the backups, or not the second base, but the second options, the backups. Most likely the Giants, outside of it, excluding catchers, will roll with six infielders. That's what it seems like their talk has been. I put my backups, when I wrote the article that I'm looking at here, I'll reference it. check it out. It's the Stock Up and Stock Down after first full week of spring training. I wrote in Gordon Beckham because Bruce Bochy had said earlier about how he likes the idea of if a backup infielder has the ability to play in the outfield, that can be an advantage if it's a tight situation. And so at the moment, Gordon Beckham was playing getting some innings, hitting well. He had played a couple innings in the outfield. He's played at second. He can play third, second, and short. So for me, that was a plus. I hadn't seen much from Rollins. After seeing Rollins, I would not mind putting Gordon Beckham in, and obviously Connor Glassby's kind of the incumbent there. What did you have, Michael, on that one?
Yeah, so mine was just everything you just said except Rollins over Beckham.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and then the outfielders.
I think Rollins has the edge there.
Yeah, and I think we'll slowly start to see that. And if Rollins can take that over, I wouldn't be surprised if Mac Williamson made the team as a fifth outfielder, because there's still room for that in the roster. So you have Denard Span, Hunter Pence, Jarrett Parker as your starting trio from center, and then Hunter in right and Jarrett in left. Gorkys Hernandez kind of has to be on the roster, considering he's the only one who can actually probably competently play defense in center field at AT&T Park to give Span some relief. He can also play both left and right and competently. Defensively, he's got a decent bat. He's got speed. He reminds me of he could be this team's Gregor Blanco from now on, and I think that's kind of that's the thing that should excite people. And then you have Mac. I put in Mac Williamson as a fifth outfielder, but you said you thought right now Chris Marrero would make the roster. Why?
Well, for two reasons. One, because the question was posed as if the season ended today, or if the season started today. So with the way he's hitting the ball right now, and the fact that Mac Williamson has options, I think that he would have, him and Rollins right now are the hot names for those fringe spots. But I also think that if that happened and Mac Williamson went down and they didn't replace him with another outfielder, then someone like Gordon Beckham might have an edge over Marrero because he can play the outfield. And at the moment, Marrero hasn't been playing the outfield. So it's all kind of a little Bermuda Triangle there of trying to match, options. Like you said, if they want guys that can be versatile, then Beckham might have the edge over Marrero, and Marrero might have the edge over Williamson, based on the way he's swinging the bat right now. Because if Marrero keeps this up, then they might be kind of forced to put him somewhere because someone else will pick him up in a heartbeat.
Yeah, and that's for sure. I think the biggest thing, though, there is that thankfully the season doesn't end today, and I think Mac Williamson is kind of saying that internally. If Marrero and Williamson are tied, are very, very neck and neck, I don't think the Giants make room on that 40-man roster somehow for him.
Right.
Just because it make that roster move for Marrero, even if it is that way. You never know. He may feel like he has a good option in here soon and that he would have a shot to get onto the roster at some point if something were to happen. And I think that's something that you never know. He may want to stick around and play in Sacramento. A lot of people want to stick around the Giants organization for who they are, how they carry themselves, and what they do. So I think that's a big thing that I don't know if they'll necessarily lose him unless another team comes along and says, hey, we'll put you on a 25-man roster. Then if I'm Chris Marrero, I'm taking that option in a heartbeat unless it's somewhere terrible. For us, somewhere terrible might be the Dodgers, but for Cesar Beccara, playing for the Dodgers would not be a terrible thing. We are joined now with the site expert from Dodgers Way.
A very smooth segue. I like that.
I know. It was a pretty good one. Cesar Beccara, welcome to the show, Cesar. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing well, Dan. How are you doing? Thank you guys for having me.
No problem, man. Welcome. We kind of messed it up here. We didn't have the right buttons clicked, or I didn't have the right buttons clicked, as we're learning this interface. This is our first show. So we skipped over our World Baseball Classic talk. We're jumping right in to the Dodgers the Los Angeles Dodgers. How do you think spring training has gone for you so far? Just give us who's your biggest surprise and your biggest disappointment of spring training for the Dodgers so far.
Oh man, well, frankly, I'm just really excited to see baseball back out on the field again. We got to see the team back out on the field. It was kind of a tough way to go down last season. So, you know, we really can't get that bad taste out of our mouth fast enough. But in terms of spring training, it's gone pretty well. You know, I'd say we had our fair share of injuries so far this spring training. But we've also seen a couple of our prospects live up to the hype that, you know, we've expected them to. In terms of biggest surprise, I think one of the biggest surprises for me so far has been watching Andre Ethier run the bases. last year, he missed for the majority of the part. He missed the majority of the part of the season last year with a broken leg, and to see him be able to take a couple of bases and score from the ball, hitting the outfield from first, you know, that's pretty encouraging in terms of our everyday outfielders. But that's probably the biggest surprise so far. In terms of the biggest disappointment would be, you know, we really haven't had a chance to see Corey Seager all that much. He's been nursing a few injuries this spring with his back. But it's just March. You know, we're not really hitting the panic button quite yet. You know, we understand it's a long grind throughout the whole season. But I think it's going pretty well right now. And, you know, we're looking forward to starting the season in April.
So April comes. What are you expecting from the Dodgers in 2017? Obviously, you guys should have high expectations. You went around further than the Giants. You won the division by a lot after the Giants had been up by a lot and just gave it away through the bullpen. What are you expecting? What's kind of the minimum expectation, and what's something you expect to kind of see from this team, or as far as like, do you expect them to win the division? And if they, do you expect them to be in the postseason, and how far do you think they'll go?
Yeah, it's a great question. For the past 4 years, it's really been, you know, World Series or bust for the team. You know, with the new ownership and the amount of money that they're spending and the amount of risk they're taking on players, you know, they're really, really expecting to go deep, make a deep run in the playoffs. And the four consecutive, you know, division titles, you know, certainly helped the morale of the team. But, you know, at the same time, you know, after winning four consecutive division titles, it's kind of hard to keep that day in and day out drive as heavy as you'd expect it. You know, they might not come up to start the season as hungry. But, you know, we have a lot of depth this season. We have a lot of talent, both veteran and young talent. So, you know, we're fully expected to, you know, make another run, you know, a deep run into the playoffs. You know, hopefully we come across the Cubs again, and, you know, maybe it's a different outcome this time of year. But, you know, there's nothing guaranteed. And, you know, the Giants always come to play year in and year out. NL West is always tough. I'm expecting the Rockies to be a little bit more competitive this season. And, you know, I know I can always be concerned about the Giants.
Well, you just mentioned kind of you always have to have concern for the Giants. Do you see that as it coming down to those two? I know you just mentioned the Rockies, but do you think that the Giants, you know, constantly being in the battle year in and year out, you know, kind of adds to the pressure of having to try to win the West again? Or do you think that the Dodgers have separated themselves at all?
Well, I think it's really easy to say the Dodgers can separate themselves if they, you know, were able to have a full staff, full healthy roster throughout the whole duration of the season. But that being said, you know, Bruce Bochy is one of the best managers in the game, and you know they end up the Giants always find some scrappy players that, you know, just know how to pull out wins and, you know, win the full season, which just seems to be more important. So yeah, you can always expect the Giants to be there. In terms of the division, you know, I think the full mentality around the clubhouse right now, and the way Dave Roberts has his guys playing, is, you know, it's seriously championship or bust. And the fact that they're only two games away from going into the World Series, I think that they're going to use that as motivation to get their fifth consecutive division title and make a deeper run into the postseason, maybe their first World Series appearance in over 20 years.
Just one question before we go here. What is your outside take or the take, at least from the Dodgers fan base on the Giants? I know we're not as in tune with the Dodgers fan base as you are. So where do you feel like the Dodgers fan base, do you feel like they're worried that the Giants, do you feel like you see them as a, you know, it's just more of a kind of divisional competitive thing, or do you think that, or at least for this year speaking, do you feel like they really see the Giants as a threat to the division, or do you feel like the fan base is kind of like, well, we were able to beat them last year without Clayton Kershaw for half the season, you know, should we worry about them? Where do you think the Dodgers fan base is at on the Giants right now?
Well, the thing is, uniquely enough, the Giants are pretty similar to the Dodgers. You know, they have their top of the rotation pretty set with Bumgarner and Cueto. And then, you know, a little bit after that, it's kind of a little bit in question mark, you know. They might not necessarily have as much depth, in my opinion, as the Dodgers do. But, you know, they have some arms with good potential, but they're pretty inconsistent. You know, the thing could be said for us with, you know, Scott Kazmir, Brandon McCarthy, Hunter Rio, who hasn't been healthy all last season. And then with Julio Urias, you know, we don't even know how much we can expect to pitch from him. You know, Jesse Marsh has shown flashes. Matt Cain has shown flashes. More of a negative side, if you ask me, more recently. But then you also had Matt Moore, who was a big acquisition last year at the trade deadline. So, you know, we're kind of on the same boat in terms of starting rotations. We have our top of the rotation guys. And then in terms of everyday players, we have a lot of players who could be platooned. So I think we're pretty similar. Obviously, everyone over here in LA looks forward to a Bumgarner Kershaw pitching matchup, and even a Bumgarner Puig, you know, hitting.
Yeah, that's what I was just about to ask.
At the end of the day, you know, you can. The Dodger-Giant rivalry is second to none over here. And, you know, we're really just looking forward to competing with the National League's best. And we know every time we go up to San Francisco or San Francisco comes in town, we're expecting a dogfight.
All right, awesome. Thank you. This was Cesar Beccara from Dodgers Way. Where can people find you on Twitter, Cesar?
You can go ahead and follow our page. I'm sure you guys won't, but I mean, we'll be having a couple more interactions throughout the season. We're at Dodgers Way FS, and I'm at C Becerra FS on Twitter. We'll be looking forward to a good season with you guys.
Yeah, same to you. Thanks again for coming on, Cesar.
And, all right, man. Good luck. Have a good spring training and have a good 2017 season.
Thanks,
Cesar,
man.
Cesar, just so you know, I did follow Dodgers Way FS because we are a family and we like to take care of each other. So I got your back.
All right, man.
All right. Thanks again, Cesar.
All right. I hope to talk to you guys soon, huh?
Yeah, for sure. We'll have you on down the road. Yeah. All right. See you, man. All right, so that was Cesar Beccara, an interesting take on. I thought I was really looking forward to where the Dodgers fan base feels about the Giants and kind of where they're at. But as he's right, it's going to be a dogfight anytime they come to town. Hopefully both teams, and hopefully Kershaw's healthy enough throughout the year that we can get a lot of Bumgarner Kershaw matchups, because man, those are fun. And then you get throwing Johnny Cueto and, you know, some of their second and third starters into the mix. It's quite the entertaining pitching battle every time out. And then on top of it, just that NorCal, SoCal, good old rivalry and hate and the love to hate either side of it. You know, it's a great thing. Next,
I don't think we can understate how beautiful he described the Giants' winning ways of finding crappy players and finding ways to win. That was that was one of the most beautiful, bitter statements I've ever heard. I loved it. I can't wait for more crappy Giants to find ways to win.
I think he said scrappy. I think he said
did
scrappy.
Did he say scrappy?
I heard scrappy,
okay,
scrappy.
Scrappy actually is more accurate anyway. So, but I thought he said crappy, and I started laughing. I had to turn the phone away because that's what I had heard. So scrappy actually makes more sense because you have like the Connor Gillespie's, the Ramiro Pena's from last year that seem to just like, you know, the Gregor Blanco's like you mentioned before. In past years,
they all
so
punch
scrappy
above their weight.
Scrappy is certainly appropriate. I thought he said crappy, and I was dying over here.
All right, cool. Well, we got about 15 minutes left on our show. Again, sorry for those who tuned in beforehand and it was silent. We totally screwed up on that one. That's our own fault. Episode 2 will totally be a lot better. Promise. We figured it out on how to work this thing. Again, thank you for bearing with us. Last 15 minutes, we are joined by one of our Around the Foghorn contributors. This is Justin Rogers. Justin, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing good. How are you guys doing?
Doing great.
Hey, Justin.
Hey.
All right.
Thanks for having me on, guys. No problem.
So we've got a bunch of Giants fan questions here. We promoted it on social media. The first time I tweeted, I kid you not, I tweeted it out and I said, guys, we have questions. Who has questions on the Giants for this year? I got 14 likes, 7 retweets, and no questions whatsoever within the first 24 hours on either social media thing. I was like, are you serious? But we got a bunch of good questions here. So I'll read them off. Let's keep the answers relatively short and sweet, just because we only got about 14 minutes left on this here. So the first one comes from Ricky Owens, or at Ricky J. Owens on Twitter. He goes, what are your thoughts on Kelby Tomlinson, the last two seasons, and his future with the Giants? Justin, go.
Okay, so I know all of us, we all really like Kelby Tomlinson. I think he's been a pretty nice asset off the bench and filling in for Panic when he was injured. He's hit .299 for his career. His on-base percentage is .362. I mean, he's quick. He can steal bases. I like his versatility. It's just kind of tough since they've added so much more depth, more veteran pieces for him. So he could be the odd man out, but, I mean, I really like his versatility and what he can bring to the table for the Giants in the future.
What about you, Michael?
I think he's a perfect fit for what the Giants need on their bench, but they also know that they can send him down. And I think for his development, I think it's the best thing to get to play every day, to be a leader in AAA, knowing that he's just one call away from coming back up and that it's not a demotion and that it's an opportunity to play every day. So I don't think it's going to be a big deal. And I actually think, just like with Trevor Brown, it's only going to make him a better player in the same way with Williamson.
Yeah, I'm in the same boat. A lot of us from the website, really, like we said, we really love Kelby, the specs. He's our boy. Some of us created a at Kelby greatest of all time Twitter account kind of a thing. Having a lot of fun with it. A whole lot of memes, dank memes of Kelby, GIFs, all of it's there. We love Kelby. I really loved Kelby on the field. I think he's got a slick glove at second base. He can hit. He makes a lot of good contact. He comes up in big places. He was the best pinch hitter on the team last year. I think he might be missed on the bench to start the season at some point if whoever they put in, whether it's someone like Gordon Beckham or Rollins, if they struggle, I think Kelby's going to be missed because that pinch hit, you could rely on him getting on base last year at a decent clip as a pinch hitter, opposed to everyone else, was pretty dismal coming in a pinch hitting role. So I think that's going to be missed. He's filled in fantastic for Joe Panic and Joe Panic's back issues back in 2015 and at the end of 2015 and even last year. So I think I'm kind of sad that he's going to end up in AAA because I thought he really, when he got called up in 2000, 15 that he really took advantage of his chances there. And so for me, it sucks to see him down, that he'll probably likely be down in AAA unless there's an injury or he, or maybe just Jimmy Rollins tanks it the rest of spring training, which I don't think is going to happen because that's just not a Jimmy Rollins thing to do. So I think he does have a good future and a long future with the Giants. Hopefully they don't view him as a trade asset when they're trying to get better at the deadline. But we'll see. Hopefully he has a long future with the Giants, and I think the Giants feel the same way about him. The next one is from my good buddy, Robbie Harjo. He goes, what has more potential of being an Achilles heel for us this year, an aging outfield with Hunter Pence and Denard Span, or the lack of depth in a rotation and bullpen? I'm going to give my quick answer on this. I think it's the aging outfield and Hunter Pence and Denard Span, because I think that the bullpen and the rotation is probably one of the deepest in baseball at the moment, especially the rotation. The bullpen, I know there's a lot of questions from what and with what happened last year. There was no clear closer at the top to set the role setting down from top to bottom. And I think Mark Melancon, when you can plug a guy who can get 50 saves and who has the third most saves in baseball, or third, or he's at top three, if not top saves in baseball over like the last 3 or 4 years. Anytime you can add that to a bullpen, I think you're fine. So for me, it is the injury concerns of can Hunter Pence stay healthy? Hopefully he can. When he can, he is a 4 or 5 wins above average a year player. When he's not, it's bad. And Denard Span needs to be better than he was last year. So he seems to be a lot more healthy. But like I said, those two, there's big questions there. What about you guys?
Go ahead.
Okay. Well, I would say that the outfield's probably the bigger concern short term. I actually have a lot of confidence in not just Williamson long term, but Duggar and Jevon Lee and some of the other guys that we have in the outfield in the minor league.
Yeah.
So while the short term is if Pence or Span go down this season, you know, could be really tough if we're playing Parker, Williamson, and Hernandez in the outfield on a daily basis. But I'm not concerned long term with our outfield. I think we have plenty of homegrown guys that are actually going to be pretty special. But if we're talking short term, I do think the outfield is a bigger concern for depth.
What about you, Justin?
Yeah, I actually agree with both of you guys. I wrote down on this piece of paper I have here, I said the aging outfield. I mean, you have Hunter Pence, he's 33 right now. He's turning 34. He hasn't been healthy each of the last 2 years. He played in 52 games, 2015, then 106 last year. And then, of course, Span, he hit well below his career average of 284 last year. He hit 266, and he only had a war of 1.0. So, I mean, that's kind of concerning, and they're only getting older. And then right off the bat, heading into spring training, we heard that Pence had a minor injury. I mean, obviously he's playing right now and he's doing fine, but I mean, that's still a little concerning given his status with his health each of the last 2 years. And then Melancon, I feel like he's been nails from the bullpen. That's exactly who they needed. They needed a closer. They went and they got it. One of the top closers in the game. And then you have Law who's shoving right now. And then you have some of the other bullpen guys who are kind of struggling, like Strickland and Contos. But in the regular season, each of the last few years, Contos has been pretty consistent. So I'm not really too concerned with their bullpen anymore. It's just that age in the outfield mixed with the younger, inexperienced players.
Yeah. All right, so we're all on the same page on that one. The next one is from our beloved friend, Mr. Steven Rosato. His question to us was, who is one of the key players for 2017 that is often overlooked? Again, I'm going to give mine. I love George Contos. George Contos is one of my favorites. And I know people – it's funny because to me I laugh when I say, oh, he struggled – when people say, oh, he struggled this spring. He's only walked one person. Oh, wait, never mind. That's – it's three – he has three walks. Okay, I'll take that back. He has 3 walks in 4 innings, and he's given up 1 hit, which was a 3-run home run, which is inflates his ERA, makes it look like it's really bad. I've always loved George Contos and kind of appreciated what he did, and the kind of the role that he plays in the team. But another one that I really do like in here is Steven Okert. I think that would be a better option for me because I see him really kind of coming into his own in the role as the, like a left-handed specialist out of the bullpen. He was really, really good at the end of last year. I remember watching with MLB TV, I was listening to Vin Scully call a game with the Giants and Dodgers at Dodger Stadium, and Okert came in and absolutely went roughshod right through the Dodgers lineup. And it was so impressive. What was even more impressive was how much knowledge Vin Scully had of stinking Steven Okert, who's, you know, maybe made it, you know, only a handful of appearances at the big league level. But Steven Okert, he's had a good spring so far. I think he's a really under the radar player that I think is going to be overlooked, but I think he's going to have a really big role in the bullpen this year. And I think he's going to come out on top. Justin, what's your thoughts on this one?
Yeah. So I wrote down Brandon Belt, not because I think that he's underrated or anything, but I think people kind of take for granted what he does. He's one of the top defensive first basemen. He hits for average. He hits somewhat power numbers, but I think people want him to be this 30 home run plus guy while also hitting like 290, 300. And he's just not going to hit 30 home runs a year in AT&T Park. So I think from that standpoint, he's kind of overlooked. And the fact that everyone will be like so quick to turn on him and kind of like, think that the Giants should trade him and get someone else, some other pieces. But, so I think in that standpoint, he's kind of overlooked. Last year, he had a WAR 4.3, hit 17 home runs, 80 RBIs, had a career high 394 on base percentage. So, I mean, he's only improving, and that's why I picked him for those reasons.
All right. What about you, Michael?
I would say that I think people are not anticipating how much having a full season of Matt Moore will impact the team and a full season of Derek Law as the eighth inning guy, because I think those two guys in their roles as the number three starter and the eighth inning guy, I think will really just not only solidify those two spots, but solidify those two players on the team. I think they're going to have huge years, and most people are so focused on, you know, Bumgarner Cueto and so focused on Melanson that they're not necessarily seeing how much improvement we're going to get from those two spots, from some of the inconsistency that we had last year in those spots. I know Samardzija being the number four guy, I think is going to help him as well. So I think those two guys will definitely be guys that will no longer be overlooked.
All right, so we are down to our last two questions here. We didn't have time for callers as we may run it a little bit longer next time. We'll see. But here we are. Last two questions. We're going to combine them, guys. We got to go quick fire. We're about 2.5 minutes left here. It goes, one, when will Kyle Crick figure it out? And two, by the summer, what do you think the biggest need will be? Both of those are from Jerry Estrada on Twitter. I don't know if Kyle Crick will ever figure it out at the big league level and get up to the big league level. I think that's still a huge question mark and a very hard question for me to answer because he hasn't graduated from AA successfully really yet. And you got to be able to do that if you're going to get to have a timeline of when he'll quote unquote figure it out. By the summer, the biggest need I think might actually be at third base. But we'll see. It depends on how healthy Nunez can be and whether or not they feel like they like Glaspy, Mr. October, can actually do the job long term in that role as a starter, as a starting third baseman. Justin, real quickly, where are you at with those two?
Yeah, I kind of struggled with the Crick question as well, just because of how he got absolutely shelled in AA last year. Like you said, he's going to need to prove that he can excel at the AA level. And then I think just worry about having success in the minors and then we can kind of talk about if he'll ever be able to figure it out in the pros. But first, he has to really excel in the minors, and I don't know if he will do that. Time will tell. And then I said for the biggest need, I feel, is either outfield depth, because even though Jarrett Parker is having a good spring, you still don't know how it's going to translate into the regular season. And same with Mac Williamson, you just don't really know with those two. So I put down outfield depth or even infield bench depth. I mean, you can never have too many pieces coming off the bench for you.
All right, real quickly, Michael, what are your two answers?
Crick won't figure it out, and Johnny Cueto being re-signed.
Two biggest needs. All right, those are actually, that's the one that I didn't even think about. That's a really good one, though, Michael. All right, we got 20 seconds left here. Again, we want to apologize for those of you who were unable to tune in or hear the first 30 seconds of it. That is our bad. But we'll figure it out. Hopefully you'll be back with us next week. I think Tuesday is actually going to be our long-term slot, Tuesday evenings. So listen in next week. Okay.